Dear congregation, how many texts do you think there are in the Bible encouraging us and calling us to prayer? Well, I didn't even try to figure out how many. There's so many. But surely one of the greatest has to be our text for this evening, where Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. In Colossians 4, verse 2, he exhorts similarly, saying to God's people there, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Well, in this, our annual prayer day service, thinking of the seasons ahead in reference to all our needs for soul and body, yes, as individuals and as families, as couples and as churches and as country and as whole wide world, really, let's just reflect for a few moments on this call to pray. Pray without ceasing. Surely, we live in a time to take that seriously. Wouldn't you agree? Our theme is a gospel exhortation, so inviting, so necessary, and so promising. You agree, I think, with me, it's really an inviting exhortation to prayer, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. The text is urging us, it's welcoming us to come to God time and time again in our prayers and with our prayers to the Lord. We may come in prayer, praising God, or confessing our sins, or coming with thanksgivings, or with supplications, or petitions and intercessions, and with whatever trial or need or struggle or question that you and I may have, or that we may be facing, or that we know loved ones of ours or friends of ours are dealing with and facing. Whatever you and I may be anxious about or concerned about or weighed down with, we may bring it to the Lord in prayer. What 1 Thessalonians 5:17 certainly implies is, never does God tire of us coming to Him. And never will He not hear us when we come to Him, asking again and again for His mercy and for His help and for His intervention and for His wisdom and for His power and for His strength. And God's amazing grace and power and love for us, the text tells us, the Lord will incline His ear to us whenever you and I pray to Him in Jesus' name and in accordance with His word. We can say, can't we, this prayer, exhortation to pray without ceasing, is indeed a gospel exhortation, confirming the Lord in and through Christ Jesus. He is truly and always an overflowing fountain of good for us in all our needs and concerns as you and I bring them to Him. In and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, now exalted at God's right hand as supreme ruler over all the universe, what does Hebrews 4:16 say in regards to Him? Let us therefore, yes, because of Christ Jesus, the perfect mediator and the complete Savior in every way, now seated at God's right hand, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I remember as a child thinking before about this text, how can you pray without ceasing and still do your work or go to school or play with your friends or do anything else at all? But the meaning of the text, of course, is that in everything of life, every day again, let's always be living in humble dependency, hearty reliance on the Lord, looking to Him for every blessing, in every need for soul and body in our lives. Well, tonight, we are thinking especially too of the growing season in our province and country and world. We can't help but remember here too, the world is in a lot of trouble right now, isn't it? With war happening. Yes, not right here, but it's happening in the former Soviet Union, Eastern Bloc of countries there, and That war is far away from us, yes, in Ukraine and surrounding nations, but it's having its worldwide impact upon us. And it may be closer to us than we realize. And it's bringing all kinds of troubles and difficulties. Also here, think of the oil shortage and gas prices. Think of the wheat and grain shortage that's going to result from this. Think of the cost of living going up so much the more already as before it has been. And think of the fact of another international refugee crisis with more than 2 million displaced people looking for a place to live. But now think of it, in the midst of all this turmoil and unrest, how good that even now in this church here, this evening, you and I may gather for a time of prayer, calling upon the Lord of heaven and earth in our every need and ask for his help in the coming seasons and in the coming months and seasons of our life. The Lord invites us. He welcomes us to prayer most graciously and generously. And not just as a meaningless, empty ritual, religious ritual on our part. No, but with his call to pray to him, he's saying, I'm the God who hears you and cares for you. Humble yourself, casting all your care upon me, for I care for you. Whatever worry or trouble or struggle or sorrow or need or desire or question or burden or temptation or distress or despair or hope or care, bring it to the Lord. Yes, pray without ceasing, says God our Savior to all his people in our text. Isn't that great that we may call on this Almighty God in all our needs? Well, this is a gospel invitation, surely. So inviting. Without a doubt. And will you agree with me too? Secondly, it's so necessary, this exhortation, isn't it? When you consider and reflect on it, how weak and helpless we really are of ourselves to deliver ourselves from our sins, from Satan, from death, from hell. And how can you and I really, on our own, provide for ourselves, our health, our daily bread, and all the abundant provisions and everyday protections that we look for and that we need and that we think we need and that we become so accustomed to here in this part of the world. What do you have that you did not receive? The Apostle Paul asks the believers in Corinth, the believers who were being tempted there to feel proud and thinking that they themselves were the suppliers of their own blessings and their gifts and talents in life. So the Apostle goes on in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? And do you know what Paul says, what James says in James 1:17? We read there what he says in the name of the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither or shadow of turning. You see, this is saying to us, congregation, that all that you and I need for life and for our good, yes, thinking spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, temporally, and eternally, all you and I need comes always from God to us. It's true we have to work for our living. We are called to be responsible and diligent in our labors at home, at school, at work, in church and society. But even that is a gift from the Lord, really, for us. And that God then blesses the labors of our hands on the fields and in the office and on the job site and in the hospital and in the churches and in our homes and in the classrooms and in the marketplace and you name it. That's all of God, really. And it's through God and it's unto God to whom be the glory from beginning to end. Just think of it. Can you give rain upon the earth? Can we make anything grow on our own? Do we give breath to any creature or human being? Can we save sinners? Can we make someone learn and be able to remember ourselves? Can we make straight what has become crooked? Can we give sleep to another? Can we stop wars on our own? Can we prevent disasters? Can we cause wounds to heal by ourselves? Can we create life? Can we accomplish new birth of any sinner? Can we prevent diseases? Can we give sunshine for this earth? Can we guarantee the future? Can we be sure of protection? No, what is man, and especially sinful and fallen mankind, in and of ourselves? Let us recognize this, dear congregation. The call to prayer without ceasing is not only a gospel-based exhortation, so inviting, but it's so necessary. Let's recognize our place, our smallness. And yes, it is a gospel exhortation. Again, for think of it, God, on account of having sent his Son as Jesus to be Savior of sinners, it's because of him now that we can hope for and ask for blessings in our every other need in life. Of ourselves as rebellious sinners and as wicked world in revolt against God, our maker and provider and keeper, of ourselves we only deserve to be cast away and to receive never again a single blessing for soul and body, for this life, nor for the life to come. We deserve the hellish life and terrible cursed death that Jesus had, left also naked, remember, on the cross, famished and thirsty thereon, bruised and beaten beyond recognition, hanging there in horrific agony in soul and body, under the wrath of God that we deserve. He died on the cross of Golgotha, which is called the place of a skull. That's what we deserve, you and I, left to ourselves. But how gracious and merciful the good-doing Lord is and has been to this fallen world, in that the day Adam and Eve fell, he promised a Savior. And he gives countless blessings for mankind in and through that promise still. And a single blessing, congregation, just in any year, just one time, is more than any of us deserve left to ourselves. But the Lord, for Jesus' sake, is so gracious and compassionate and caring for the lost who trust in him, and even for the lost who don't trust in him. In his common grace, how many good things he gives for so many across this world. And in our text now, the Lord calls us who are confessing Christians, he calls his church here to be much in prayer day by day for the Lord's blessings and for his ongoing help for us in all our needs, personally and in families and worldwide, body and soul. And the Bible and world history proves, doesn't it? The Lord, he delights in hearing us when we pray. And he delights in mercy. And yes, he is indeed an overflowing fountain of good still, especially for all who trust and follow him. How many blessings don't we have? More than we can count. And that's the case year after year. In fact, that's all I know all my life, being taken care of. I was never left on the streets. I don't think any of you were either. Well, when you put this all together, it's just so wonderful, the call to pray without ceasing. It's a gospel exhortation, so inviting, so necessary, but also, let's notice, so very promising. Yes, God hears his people. He hears his people's prayers. And in his providence and power, in his mercy and love, he does care for us and provide for us time and time again. God, in and through Christ, he delights in his children praying, and he rejoices in answering our prayers according to his infinite wisdom and sovereign goodwill and pleasure. So we read, for instance, in Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12, these precious words from the God who cannot lie. Do you know what it says there? For repentant worshipers and believing people of God, prayers. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Isn't that so great to read and to know and to experience through all the seasons of our lives? And in all our needs for as long as we live. And to prove that this is so promising, this prayer, we need to just observe it in its context in our text in 1 Thessalonians 5. Did you notice that the prayer, the call to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, is sandwiched in between rejoice always, verse 16, and In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Spoken in verse 18. In other words, beloved, if you and I will experience and enjoy a life of rejoicing and gladness and experience and enjoy a life of repeated thanksgiving and contented gratitude, it comes in the way of praying without ceasing. Do you believe this and reflect this too in your life and I in mine? The grace and glory of the Christian life, ever looking to the Lord in our every need and calling, time and again, is that we have a God, the one only true God, the triune God, the faithful covenant-keeping God, who hears and answers the prayers of his people. Indeed, says Paul in Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, the Lord in Christ Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And to him, says Paul, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So what an encouragement, don't you agree, to pray. And to pray without ceasing, also coming into the spring and summer of 2022. While admittedly many matters on many fronts may look rather hopeless and dismal presently, yet calling on the Lord, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, don't we have abundant reason still to be so hopeful and to continue delightfully dependent on him in for every blessing for soul and body moving forward? Before God Almighty in Christ Jesus, our impossibilities and our improbabilities are only just more opportunities for God to show his boundless grace and endless strength and multitude of loving kindnesses for us. So don't be despairing then in any situation, but hope still in God, one and all. I was thinking to myself, what if I was preaching this in Ukraine? Would I preach the same? I think I would. I don't know though. It'd be so different context. We're preaching in a context of comforts galore. But there is just awful what's happening. But God is the same here and there and everywhere. Don't be despairing in any situation, but hope still in God, one and all. And who knows what the Lord may yet accomplish in the coming seasons, in this world, in all our needs and brokenness, and especially and most of all in connection with our spiritual and our eternal needs, and in reference to his church, that his church may grow and blossom. Even this night too, you know, if there's anyone listening online or in church here that's still unsaved and not believing in Jesus Christ as only Savior, will you not come to him even now, this night, while it's still the day of grace, and be converted? You know, I read about a congregation in Ukraine this week which said, it was in Irpin, Ukraine, where there's a lot of strong Christian community, but that church said, for the last 20 years, the neighbors around the church always more or less just walked by, just like we have here. But now, this article said, they're in the church basement and they're receiving from the supplies of the church for body and hearing the prayers of the church and the gospel word through the church for their souls. Let's pray for revival, congregation, in this world, whatever it takes. Yeah, whatever it takes. Let's pray for people being brought back to God and his word, and nations learning to bend the knee before God and his word. God can accomplish it, but it might be through hard ways. Let's pray for reformation too in the churches, so that there is true repentance from all sin and humble submission to all holy scripture, instead of playing with the Bible and coming up with their own ideas about the Bible and bowing to the pressures of the world and buying into what the world believes and saying, that's good too. No, the Bible must be our authority. Let's pray for revival in this coming season for all the church to come back to the Word of God. And let's uphold the Word and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the one ultimate hope for this world lost in sin and headed for destruction. Jesus came to save, and in him is life, even life forevermore. So let's pray for without ceasing, especially too, for the ministry of the church, within the church and to the world outside. And may God build his church till the last day. Well, dear congregation, will you tonight and in the coming seasons not only be hearers of this word, but doers thereof too? Pray without ceasing, personally, in your families, and as congregation. Let's pray without ceasing. Yes, as Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Thus saith the Lord, knowing he continues an overflowing fountain of good for all who rely on him in their every need, and that all always for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.